Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I was very impacted by the Power Conference, what we used to call the Prophetic Conference. Some of you were impacted by that. It was, I do believe, the strongest one we've ever had before. And many have contacted us through various means to tell us how their lives have been forever changed. I heard recently about a prophetic word given by Pastor Joshua Morocco over someone that they were going to come under a mighty visitation of the Lord. And I don't remember exact details of it, but that's exactly what happened just a few days later. And they were gloriously baptized in the Spirit, began to pray in other tongues, prayer language for hours, and their life is altered. God can touch you, and one moment of time can change everything in your life. We're not here to fulfill a religious obligation. The mortuary is down the street. That's not what this is. This is a place of life, a place of resurrection power, a place of hope. It's a place of healing divine. It's a place of encounter. That's why we're here. We're here because we love God and because He loves us. And I just don't know all that He's going to do tonight on this February 28th. But He's going to touch our hearts and He's going to impact us, especially if we'll lean in a little bit. Come on, lift your hands if that's a posture you're willing to take. It's a picture of hungry. It's a picture of what you used to do to perhaps your mom or your dad, and you want to be picked up. It's what your kids do, like, help, help me. It's a picture of surrender. It's a picture of worship, yada in the Hebrew, an extending of the hands. We extend our hands to you tonight. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And thank you for what you're doing right now. Holy Spirit, we give you this service. We yield to you, inviting you to have your way, that you would anoint these lips of clay yet again, that our lives would be forever change, because of your word, because of the power of your Spirit. Release miracles. Thank you for what you're doing. We give you praise. Matthew 21, New King James. Thank you, Minister Toby. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. New King James. While you're standing and finding that, Matthew 21, go to verse 12. I said a number of months ago that I was moving to a new translation, the New Living Translation, because of the modern English. And just in an attempt to help people that have maybe never read the word before, because it doesn't need much interpretation when you read it as in today's English. However, it just does such a horrible job on so many texts, I just can't do it. And so like I get to this one, I tried to read the New Living Translation to you, and it's just horrible for what I feel like the Lord's telling me to preach and teach to you. So going back to the old faithful New King James. How many of you King Jimmies out there? You like the King James? All right, this is good. But this is a New King James. So here we go. New King James, Matthew 21 on the screen. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind, everybody say, then the blind. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, light upon our path, move in great power. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. No notes for you. I do have a few for myself. A number of years ago, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said that if you have a spirit of control, you will never experience revival. And I was convinced I didn't have that. So I'm like, well, poor people with all the spirit of control. But then I began to see how there was things in my life that I had an aspect of control. You know, we like controlling things. Oh, not you. Most of us like to be in control, but here's the point. If God's going to touch and change your life, if God's going to pour out over a region, we're going to have to yield control to Him. Now, that doesn't mean you run around like an idiot. You're still going to control yourself. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It doesn't mean that God comes upon you and your tongue flails around and you foam at the mouth and you're screaming on the street corner, but that also might happen. I used to say that the Lord is a gentleman. He'll just never make you do things, but you know, maybe He needed to deal with me more abruptly than some of you, but He required and made me do some things. It just came upon me to enforce the fact that He really is in control, especially if I yield to Him and let Him take the reins. There's people who sit in churches today, and I hope not to be one of them, where their attitudes and their actions control the Spirit of God. And you're never going to have a genuine outpouring if the Holy Spirit is constantly put in a box. So based on that, I didn't want to give you notes because I'm not sure all that's going to happen. If you were here on the final night of our conference, and I commend you for your generosity, not only did the conference end in the black, we sent our guests home very blessed and moved our vision forward here at King's. Can you say amen? The revival offering was large and generous, and God's doing great things. And I commend you for your obedience. Revival is here. What a great word that was. Pastor Josh preaching defined what that is. Sometimes we're looking for revival to be something that it was in years gone by. God's doing something new. And in order for Him to do something new, we're going to have to yield. You're going to have to yield to Him in your home, yield to Him in your car. We have to yield to Him in service. He's asking us to do that. You say, well, how do you even get that out of the text that we read? Well, look at this. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and He drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. I've seen this text preached on it numerous times before. The dove, first mention of the dove is in Noah's ark, where he sends a dove and the raven out to see if the water had receded. It does it a number of times. The dove eventually returns with an olive branch in its mouth, a pitcher of peace. It's the first time you see the dove and the Zohar, the opening of the door, the top of the ark. In fact, the ark is remarkably similar to, in proportions, to the tabernacle, to the temple. It's fascinating, really. The dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And you can see when Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove. Some people think the Holy Spirit is a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove, but it's a beautiful picture, an image of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Middle Eastern doves, as I've taught you before, have 9 main wing feathers that all point to the head, representing the 9 gifts of the Spirit, although there really are more. In Corinthians, there's 9. The tail feathers of a Middle Eastern dove, there's 5 main tail feathers, a picture of the fivefold, keeping the balance, the whole thing in Middle Eastern doves. So when Jesus comes into the temple and He overturns the tables, and we were just there. We were on the road, the actual road. It's been discovered in the city of David. I think it's called the Pilgrim's Road. And it goes up to the Temple Mount, we actually walked the actual stones, first century stones that Jesus walked on. And it's been excavated. It's not open to the public just yet. We were able to go in, Pastor Gill and I and 18 other pastors with Christians United for Israel were able to go into some of these sites that have not been open to the public. And as we walked on those same streets, I couldn't help but just weep. And it brings you out to the place where, and they haven't fully excavated it yet. There's a whole city above it. It's really quite remarkable. It brings you out to the place where they sold doves, where they were defiling the market, then brought a marketplace into the house of God. And the modern day church has done that as well. Somebody said, you shouldn't sell merchandise at the church, like our merch out there. We have, if you haven't visited, go ahead and visit it, because we're not applying that to this scripture here. We're getting our brand out there to reach the lost. That's why we do it. There's really no other reason. And to be honoring of what God's doing at Kings. Kings has been heard about all around the world, and we're so grateful that it has. So you go ahead and can proudly wear that symbol, Kings, a picture of integrity. I believe it's a picture of the outpouring of the Spirit. I believe it's a picture where we do not have merchandising. We got called not long ago, and somebody asked, you know, we'd like to have a flea market. We're not having a flea market. No, really. You could just open up. You could rent the whole lobby. That lobby's amazing. You could rent that out, and they could have it. You're not having a marketplace in the lobby. You say, well, you could rent it to NASCAR. You could rent it to this. You could rent. The building's not for rent. Why not? It's a sanctuary. It's a house of God. It's a place of prayer. Can you say amen? It's a big deal. It's a big deal to us. And we'll have banquets and we'll celebrate, but prayer really is the main thing. So it says that Jesus came and removed the seats. I see Mayor Edna tonight. God bless you, Mayor. And Noel, we love you so much. The borough seat is in Palmer. Is that correct? That's the seat of government. It's not just any old word that's used here. The seats of those who sold the doves, what can be applied, I believe, is those who were controlled. He overthrew the seats of those who controlled the dove. And I believe that the Spirit of God would say that he's going to throw over, kick over, remove those in authority who are controlling the move of the Spirit of God, the dove. And that includes in my life, in your life, he's going to disrupt things. He's going to shake what can be shaken so that what remains is of him. Come on, somebody say, shake it. Jesus came to remove their seats, essentially saying, I'm not going to have somebody attempting to control the worship. And they were ripping people off. Understand, they're selling, and they had to exchange. People came to buy for their offering. They came to exchange money for doves and so on and so forth. And there was money changers. You had to have temple money. They would exchange, and they were ripping people off, an exchange rate. I think I've shared this story before, but one of my very, very special times with Dr. Morocco, who's my pastor, and Pastor Josh is in process of transitioning to leading the work. Dr. Morocco is still at the helm, but Pastor Josh is right there with him, and there's a process of baton being passed. But Dr. Morocco's been my pastor since 1992, and my family. We went to Israel, and they told us in Israel on this tour, I think it was 8 years ago, they said, don't use the money changers around Jerusalem. Go to a bank, go to an ATM, but don't use the money changers because they'll rip you off. They can rip you off. So there was two people happened to be from Alaska. And they didn't listen to that advice. And so they went and they exchanged money. And instead of getting $100 in the currency of Israel, they gave 200, thought they were giving 100, they got ripped off. They got ripped off by $100. Didn't realize it till we got back to the hotel and they were so upset. Oh, and so Dr. Morocco said, well, maybe we can pass by and see if we can get that corrected. Well, it just so happens we were able to make it, it's at the Jaffa Gate. We're able to make it by and go to that window, and it was the same two guys that ripped off two of our people from Alaska. And so there's IDF standing there, people with Uzis and automatic weapons everywhere. And there was stabbings going on back then. I don't know if you remember that. It was terrible. It was a pretty volatile place to be. So Dr. Morocco walks up to the window to talk to these two guys that ripped off two of our sheep. And so I walked up next to him. I'm like, yeah. Dr. Morocco has the receipt, and he says, yeah, you made a mistake. These ladies, and the ladies are like, you took our money. He's like, made a mistake. I'm sure it's innocent, but you need to return the $100 extra that you took. And the guy says, no, we didn't take any money. He leans forward and says, you're returning the money. And it, I mean, he like leveled up big time. I'm like, yeah. And then they said, no, we're not, we didn't take any money. We're not, he didn't even let them finish their sentence. It's that bulletproof glass, you know the stuff? He went from like a level 10 to a level 100, pounded the glass, return the money, wham, hits the glass. IDF responds, they're coming over. Those guys are like, I'm like, yeah, return the money. And they repented. They repented. And they're like, we're so sorry, it's a mistake. They slid the money in exchange, made everything right. I'm like, man, that's my pasture right there. I love that. There comes a time when you need to remove the seats of those who sell the dove, including the seats that might be in your own understanding. There comes a time when you have to say, I am not going to settle for a spirit of control. I'm going to yield. I'm going to confront those things in my life that are keeping me from the move of the Spirit of God. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. I'm going to allow for conviction to come. Oh God, I want your power. I want your fire. I want you to come and move freely through me. Tear down every high and lofty thought that's raised up against the knowledge of God. Remove every place of authority that I've empowered in my life that hinders the move of the Spirit of God. We need that in government. I believe that God is removing people's seats in government. My gosh, it's so corrupt. Republican, Democrat, Independent, all of them, they're all corrupt. Not all of them, there's some good people. God bless Mayor Edna. I mean, we know Mayor Edna. It seems like some people are good, and then they're you know, out there, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. God bless Mayor Edna and all the righteous politicians. There are some. I said there are some. So when he removed their seats, I mean, Jesus wasn't a pansy. It wasn't some sissy walking around speaking in Elizabethan English, just whispering stuff. Come on Sabbath, he made a whip. Can you imagine being one of the disciples, Pastor Tim? You'd be like, oh, wow. What are we doing today? What are we going to do today, Jesus? You're like, well, we're going to the temple. He's making a whip. What are you going to do with the whip? You'll see. It's going to be awesome. He was a carpenter. I remember meeting early on in our building project, we had a banker come and view the property. And as we were walking on the property, looking over, I think we had done the dirt work at that point. Wally, you were there. He's looking out over, and I'm looking at the hair and his arms is on end. And he says, I have never seen a church property like this. In all the years I've been doing what I've been doing, this place is amazing. I remember shaking his hands. He didn't have banker's hands. No offense. My hands are pretty soft too. I work with my heart, my spirit, my mind. I study. I used to do labor. I do different kind of work now. So, I mean, if I work with my hands, I get blisters. Some of you work with your hands every day, and it's a good thing. It's a righteous thing. This man, when I shook his hand, his hand was as thick as a baseball mitt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, that man had some meat on that thing. When I shook his hand, it had calluses on it. And I'm like, that's not a banker's hand. I remember what Wally said. He said, That's a construction guy. He knows what he's talking about. You could tell. Do you think that a carpenter's son had smooth hands and he was just a regular guy? No, he wasn't. The Bible says that he had, there was nothing about him that would attract us to him physically. It says that, I believe, in the Psalms. But Jesus is strong, and he confronted things. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is at work in the earth, and he's strong, and he will confront things because he loves you. He loves you, so he refuses to let you get away with stuff, and he wants to expose things to bring about freedom and wholeness and healing. So Jesus, when he opened these, he removed the seats, those in authority, he removed them, the doves. You got to understand how many doves there were. Very, very possibly, scholars say thousands of doves, thousands. Come on, you've been in a wedding where they've released doves and like, and they fly away and like, oh, there's 10 or 15 doves. Can you imagine, let's say it's just a few hundred, but it's a lot of doves. It's not just like five or six. It's a marketplace where they sold doves. He removes their seats and he looses a dove. He sets the doves free. What scholars say is that they would then fly around, all around the Temple Mount. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit having liberty. Can you imagine being there? And one of the things that stands out every time I've gone to Israel, I've been three times, can't wait to go again, is when you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can see the temple. It's everything is very small. I mean, we think about, you know, we drive to Fairbanks, it's hundreds of miles. It's not like that. Israel's the size of Rhode Island. So when those doves were released, it is said by some that the temple was so beautiful, it looked like snow at a distance, all this white marble, Herod's temple. When those doves were released, the people saw it and they thought, what is going on? What's happening? You would see these doves flying around the Temple Mount. What's going on? And it says that then the blind and the lame came. When the Holy Spirit is allowed to be Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What that means is where the Holy Spirit is allowed to be Lord. It says that in 1 Corinthians. Where the Holy Spirit is allowed to be Lord, then there's freedom. All these doves flying around. He goes on to say that my house is a house of prayer. Blind and the lame come. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh God, we long to be a house of prayer. Would you expose anything on the inside of us that causes you to be grieved? Holy Spirit, come. Come right now, God. Come on, just ask God to reveal to you any places where you might have a spirit of control. Oh God, do it. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. It's one thing to be filled with the Spirit. It's another thing to stay filled and to yield to Him more. We're just going to give you some practical things on how to yield to the dove, how to yield to the Holy Spirit, how to allow Him to be Lord in your life. Because it's wonderful to hear messages like we just preached. I mean, we could bring the worship team up and we could flow in the gifts. We'll probably do that later. But I want to give you some practical ways of how to stay filled. Some of you, I remember this prophetic word I got. I think it was Jim Critcher. Prophesied over me. When you came in, you got filled with the Spirit, but you leaked out by the time you got to your car in the parking lot. Nice word, but it was true early on in my walk. Ephesians chapter 4. I Verse 11, he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach a unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Everybody say mature. Or mature, depends on how you, where you come from. Come on, bump your neighbor and say that it's time to grow up. See, it's one thing to come into church and give your life to Jesus. We hope to see that take place. If that hasn't happened for you, by the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity. Then it's quite another thing. You get baptized in the Spirit, but then you have to grow up. Come on, if your child didn't grow, you would take your child to a doctor and you would say, what's happening? What's going on? Is there something wrong? He's not growing. She's not growing. They seem now malnourished. Some of you are malnourished. Some of you at the same level of maturity you were when you got born again 10 years ago. That is not how it should be. We should all grow up. I've seen some people get saved 3 years later. They're in full-time ministry or at the head of a business or serving in some capacity, bringing forth great fruit. And maturity doesn't mean you're in ministry either. Christ-likeness. So if you're going to take some notes, you want to commit yourself to grow up. Commit to mature. I'm not feeling the love over here. I'm going to go over here. Commit yourself to grow up. Be committed. Be committed. If you're still struggling with the same things you struggled with last year, then something needs to change. Like, I'm just still stuck in pornography, Pastor. Well, is that God's fault? Now, would that be a lack of power on behalf of heaven? Or would you have something to do with that? No, you have something to do with that. I just can't seem to get over that tithing thing. You need to like really study the word. Get into it. Get with somebody who's smarter, wiser, walking in greater blessing than you are. I've seen people start businesses and they crash and burn. And it just blows my mind. There's so many successful business people here, investors here. There's so many successful people in all areas of the walk of life. So many here. So when somebody says they want to start a restaurant or somebody says they want to start a business, it just blows my mind that they don't like look for somebody who's really, really good at it already. I mean, due diligence. Like I want to open up a chiropractic office. Well, we have some successful chiropractors. It doesn't just happen. And so it's a picture of maturing. You want the dove to have full reign in your life. He wants you to grow up, and he's constantly moving you to mature. And that is why we're here, to equip the saints for the work of ministry till we all become mature. Bump your neighbor and say it really sweet. It's time to grow up. Go ahead, say it. Maturity comes about by doing ministry and doing the word. I said doing the word. If you don't do the word, then you're hindering your growth. Turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Verse 21, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new. Everybody say, be made new. Be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The second thing is to allow the Holy Spirit to have full sway. Number one, you got to grow up. You got to mature. He wants you to mature. He wants you to become more like him. Number two, you got to put off your old self. You got to put on your new self. We were talking, Pastor Bruno's wife, whose name is Heather, Pastor Heather, I've got it. Pastor Heather is a psychotherapist. Family therapist, psychotherapist, great, tremendous education. And we were talking about Caroline Leith, and you guys should talk. You'd have a great conversation. Minister Lori heads up our bridge, our counseling department. Thank you for all the people you help. God bless you. So we were talking about renewing of our mind, and we were just talking about things and healing. And we went to a restaurant to eat, and in Spanish, I don't know, it was huevos divorciados or something like that. Am I got that right? Okay, so like, let me just tell you how it is for me. I had to scrap, by the grace of God, for every bit of insanity I have. Sanity. Pastor Karen. So now I have a thing about divorce. It'll never happen in my, we'll never be divorced. We don't use the word divorce. We are never getting divorced. Our kids know we'll never be divorced. It will never happen in the Bracken family. As far as it depends on me. So we made a vow, we made a deal when we got married. We're never using the word divorce. We heard it from marriage counselors. We got it in pre-marriage counseling. You don't ever say, I want a divorce. There are reasons for divorce, but God hates divorce. Can I get an amen? So I've never in all my married life used the word divorce. I want a divorce. We're going to get a divorce. Maybe we should get divorced. And we've had some serious fights. We're passionate people. And we passionately discuss things. And in the end, we both repent, all jokes aside. And we get right. And we come to reason. And we make up. And we don't let the sun go down on our wrath. Which doesn't always mean as the sun goes down. Because you'd be mad a whole lot longer during the summer than you would during the winter. It's a picture of having, it's okay to take a little bit of time to get over some. Some things take a little bit more, depending upon what kind of strongholds you have. Anyway, when we got to the restaurant and I saw huevos divorciados, which I don't even know what it is because I'm not even going to read it. Now, I love huevos with eggs, huevos rancheros. I love huevos rancheros. I might even like the divorciados, but I skipped it, never read it, not looking at it. I wanted eggs, but I skipped it, didn't even read it, didn't look at the definition of what it is. Why? Because it's got divorciados. We don't do that. No, seriously, that is how I've disciplined my mind. I don't say divorce. There's never going to be divorce. I'm not going to eat it in an egg. Do you not understand what I'm saying? You have to put on the new man. You got to put on a new man. You've got to think new. You've got to act new. You got to renew your mind. You don't go to the same place as you used to go. You don't have the same friends you used to have. You don't do the same things you used to do. You've been born again. You've been made new. What are you doing going back like a dog to the vomit, says the Bible. I don't know. I just found myself eating it again. Really? Maybe you should go home another way. You've got to put on the new man. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm putting on my new man. And I ain't ever taking him off. My goodness. It's a civil war on the inside of you. You've got to reckon the old man dead. You don't feed him. Don't play with him. How crazy would that be if you went and played with one of your relatives out of the cemetery? You'd be locked up. We'd send you to Pastor, what's your name again? Pastor Heather for counseling. I don't know. He just keeps going and playing with that. Rin Tin Tin, the dog. He died, my dog. He's buried in the back, and you want to go play with Rin Tin Tin. Rin Tin Tin is no longer alive. Don't quit digging up Rin Tin. Some of you dig up your old self all the time. It's like the Bride of Frankenstein, for God's sake. Not the Bride of Christ. You've got to reckon yourself dead. Gosh, it goes on here in Ephesians 4. My. You list some of these things. Don't lie. Don't sin in your anger. Don't steal. Don't speak trash. Verse 29. Look at verse 29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. How did you get to talking about revival and the doves to this? Simple. Because when the dove has free reign in your life, you don't do this stuff anymore. You change. And you mature. And you grow up. And you put on your new self. And you stop lying. You want a move of God, just simply apply these things to your life. Get rid of all evil. Unwholesome talk out of your mouth. But only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs. That may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all kinds of evil. Verse 25, put off the old self. My gosh. Be kind and forgiving. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as much loved child imitates his father. Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like a sweet perfume. Verse 3, let there be no sex or sin or impurity or greed among you. Let no one be able to accuse you of any such things. I mean, he talks about it, sexual purity. We live in a culture that's totally confused. I don't even like using the term. Children's church is over there and youth is upstairs. So this is adult church. Everybody say it's adult church. Okay. I don't like using in a loving marriage, what happens in a loving marriage between a husband and a wife, because that is the only, anything else is not marriage. I don't care how they wanted to try to define things. Scripture's clear. It's Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Steve. And that which takes place between a loving, we love people, but sin is sin, okay? That which takes place between a loving married couple, I don't even like calling sex. I just don't. I just don't. It's so holy, and sex has got this slime thing on it. I don't call it that. What do you call it? None of your business. But sex has just got this nasty view. It's the greatest act of spiritual warfare that could take place. Three reasons for it. One, children. Somebody say amen. Two, pleasure. Somebody say amen. Three, anybody know? Oneness. What happens between a man and a wife, those three reasons for it, that oneness is very important. I was talking to a pastor just recently, and he was telling me he was counseling and meeting with some leaders and found out that the husband and wife had not been together for 2 months. Let me just tell you, I told you, Children's Church is over on the other side. This is adult church. I'm looking for kids. Jesus, help me. He's not listening. Amen. They hadn't been together for 2 months. I'm going to tell you something. For a prolonged period of time, let me say it that way, because as you get older, things change. And things change. But to not be together for punishment or for because you're angry or because you're trying to teach him or her something is evil. And it is so very important as you provide a covering for her and she provides a covering for you. Let me just tell you, you need to be intimate together. So if you have not heard that before, you're hearing it now. And if you've had a long, prolonged period of time, I don't mean somebody's sick or going through something or there's maybe a physiological problem or whatever. You have to get healed. There must be intimacy in marriage. All the gentlemen can thank me later. There must be intimacy. All the ladies can thank me later. Yeah, there must be intimacy in marriage. We better move on. It's kind of uncomfortable in here right now. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. But not perversion. I do believe we're going to have a great move of the Spirit of God. Let me give you just a couple more things and we'll conclude. Would you come and ease the pain with the keys? Ephesians 5 and 11. Have nothing to do with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. Expose them in your own life. Expose them in the community. Expose them. Years ago, I was a tour guide. I've told the story as many times. I'll tell an abbreviated version of it. I was a tour guide leading people down Haleakala, which is a dormant volcano, on chrome bicycles. It's the only road that you can goes from sea level to 10,023 feet in under 40 road miles. And so people ride bikes down this, and they used to give tours out of the national park. And I was a tour guide, did that for a number of years. Well, there ended up being a large group of tour guides that would smoke weed, and they would all gather and get really high and then lead these tours. And there started being a lot of accidents. Now, let me just tell you, when you crash a bike in a lava field, it's bad, very bad. And there was a lot of injuries, and there were some deaths. There's deaths. Because of tours weren't being done right. There was no drug testing. There was none of that. And I remember I was one of the managers, not the manager, but a night sort of manager at our tour company. And the Lord spoke to me and said, evil prospers when good men do nothing. I'm like, okay. He's like, you're going to do something. I'm like, I'm going to pray. You're going to pray and you're going to do more than that. I'm like, awesome. So I wrote that out I used to write scriptures out. I still do, but wrote out the scripture, wrote out that phrase. Actually, I don't think it's in scripture. Evil prospers when good men do. I think it sounds like Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, but it's true nonetheless. I wrote it out and I pinned it up on my bulletin board, and everybody was coming in and they're all getting their stuff and going out and picking up their tours, and it just kept ringing in my spirit. You're going to do something. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do something. So we get to the top of the mountain and all the tour guides disappear, just like every other day that we have the tour. And I know they've all gone to smoke weed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to go and make a citizen's arrest. I was very big and strong back then, lifting weights and just, I was a big and strong guy, so I went and used some of that perhaps for intimidation, but I went and found them in the national park, and they all knew me as Father Bracken because I was on fire, witnessing machine, telling everybody about Jesus. And so I was Father Bracken to them, and I found them, showed up. There's a whole giant circle of all these tour guides, giant as in 30 tour guides, all getting high together. I said, hey guys. They're like, dude, it's Father Bracken. I'm like, hey, just want to let you know that I'll be making a citizen's arrest for every single person here, and you know I can do it. But I'm giving you today as a pass. I said, tomorrow, I'll be back up. You're in a federal park, and you're going to get arrested and go to jail. And if you're smoking weed on my tour, and I looked at some of my tour guys, if you're getting high on my tour, I will stop my tour in the middle of the tour and have them come and take you out of the tour. It'll be a problem. Just giving you notice. Long story short, they sabotaged my bike. I ended up, I believe, breaking my neck. And my beautiful mother, who's on the second row, dragged me to church. Dragged me to church where the dove was allowed to move. I wanted to go to the hospital, but she wouldn't take me to the hospital. They literally, can you imagine? Where's my ushers at? Can you imagine a car pulling up? Can you get the ushers? Please get all the ushers. Would you? They come and they carry me out of the car, bring him in. I'm like, they bring me in and they put me on a pew 3/4 of the way back, and I get to lie there during all of worship. While I'm lying there, and half of my body is cold, the other half is hot, I've at least got a concussion and maybe a broken neck. I don't know. I'm having physical problems. I want to go to the hospital, but my Pentecostal mother said, "You're going to church." I'm lying back there, worship starts, power of God starts coming down, and I'm lying there, and I start having a discussion with God. "Lord, you said to do something, and this is what's happened. God, I'm going to stand up and worship you, and if my head falls off, then I'll just go to heaven." And that was exactly what I said. I said, "If my head falls off, then I just die and go to heaven, and so be it. But I'm not going to lie here like some sort of a defeated slug. All I did was obey you. I'm getting up." I stood up and I lifted my hands. It was one of the most painful things I can remember doing. As I lifted my hands, I began to sing. And I don't remember the rest of the service. Worship went long. I don't remember what happened, except for the fact when worship was over, I was 100% healed. Nobody laid hands on me. Dr. Morocco was in the time of greeting, and I rushed up and stopped him. "Pastor Morocco," I said, "to Daniel. What's going on?" I said, "I got healed." And I told him the story, and I testified in front of the church. I think I broke my neck, but my mother brought me here, my Pentecostal mother. There she is. And just obey God. And yeah, there can be opposition. What are the options there? What are the options? You stay broken, you stay defeated, you stay someone who doesn't expose evil, you stay a half-hearted, limp-wristed, sissified Christianity that never changes our culture, doesn't change our government, doesn't change anything. When we stood there with that farmer in Israel, he said, "They came, they killed our families, they took hostages, and they took 9 of our tractors." And he said, "We went out and bought new ones, and we will never leave our land. When they destroy our buildings, we build bigger ones. We will never leave our land of Israel. We are not leaving. We are staying." And we're on the other side of a fence with razor band and bombs in the distance. And there's a tractor on the other side of the fence near the front line or near the Gaza Strip. And they're farming that piece of land. And he says, "We will continue farming." "No, I've got to go. I've got a meeting. Just want to let you know that's where we're at. Tell everybody Israel's here to stay. The people of Israel are here to stay." And I thought, if we had more pastors that had backbone, more leaders that had, if we had more people that are willing to put off the old man and put on the new and begin to say, "You know something, whatever control spirit I have, I'm letting it go. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to let the dove freely move in my life. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to stay a sissy. I'm going to get mature. I'm going to grow up. I'm not going to stay stuck in pornography and other issues. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to quit being onion skin Christian, always offended. Oh, they bumped at me. Oh, he didn't say hi to me." Get over yourself. You got to get healed. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God, right now, release your power all across this place. Release your power, God. Release your power. Yes, God. Yeah, you might face some persecution, but come on, if you die, you'll get rewarded for the gift of martyrdom that you give once. Don't worry about the enemy. Don't worry about people. Live in holy fear and awe of God. Obey Him. Trust Him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. I believe that God is going to deal with us. Judgment comes to the house of the Lord first. And I believe that an open door is being released to us. And not everybody gets to go through it. And he's asking us to examine ourselves. He's asking us to go ahead and take a look. Where is that spirit of control? Where is that religious thing that you have? Where is that immaturity that I've been asking you to deal with for the past 24 months and you've continued to stay and wallow in it? You complain about your wife, but you're not Christ-like at all, sir. You complain about your husband, but you're like the fourth part of the Trinity, constantly nitpicking him. Hey, yeah. I don't know what, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what, how the Spirit of God is caged up in your life, but look for him to remove the seat of control. Yield to him, let him show you things. And I'm telling you, he's gonna deal with pastors and leaders. He's gonna deal with government officials. He's gonna pour out his spirit.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.